tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, 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 y'all. It's your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. The Curvy Critic. It is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I got a special guest in the house. My girl, Gina Torres, is joining me. Hey, girl. Hey, what's happening?
I'm good, Carla. How you doing? Happy Sunday. Happy Easter Sunday.
Happy Easter. I wore yellow in the occasion. You know how many times I've worn this yellow sweater on the show? A lot.
It's cozy. It's comfy. It's fabulous.
But I was trying to, you know, I dressed up for you, girl. I put a face on. I was like, because I had been walking around here in my pajamas looking crazy.
No, crazier than anybody else. I mean, you know, listen, look, full disclosure. I text messaged you 3 minutes ago and said, it's just audio, right?
So I was like, I love my friends. I was like, I know I told her video, what's up?
So here I am, just me keeping it real in my COVID, quarantine grays.
You got that Jennifer Lopez on the down low natural beauty happening. I needed a little help.
Thank you.
Because when I tell you I was looking like a bandit, I was looking like a bandit.
All right, girl.
I was full on looking like the last of the bandits. I really was. So I have been dying to get you over here for so long. I remember a little while ago, we were trying to get you over here to talk about Suits and talk about Pearson. And I remember the last time I physically saw you was at the, I think it was the premiere of Twilight Zone, right?
Yes.
That's been almost a year. Ooh, mm-hmm. So sad. But I saw you at the premiere of that, and you were telling me about Pearson then, and I know that you were a co-executive producer on that. What was it like to have that kind of control on a show where, you know, you had a little bit of say into what was going on?
Good. Real good.
What was the biggest adjustment for you with that?
The biggest adjustment really came... I have to say, you know, as an actor, when you're doing a production and you're part of something, you're only like in your sort of corner of the world, and from your corner of the world, you really try to serve the piece. As a producer, you have more of a bird's eye view of everything that's going on, and you have a say in everything that's going on. So for me, that was such a blessing to be able to find my voice, not just have it, but find it and use it and be able to contribute in a very different way on multi-levels.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Did you have any say-so in the storylines and how they went and how Pearson was going to be perceived from the public? Was it going to be a different viewpoint, a little different skew on the viewpoint than people got when they were watching you on Suits?
Absolutely, absolutely. This was my baby. This was my brainchild. I conceived of it. I dreamt it up in my head. I got the writers, the producers on board, the network on board. I was able to pitch it in such a way that, and I think what really sold the pitch was the fact that I desperately wanted to show a whole woman in all of her fullness, in all of her challenges, in everything that it takes, the sacrifices, the joy to be able to walk in her shoes. And there were significant shoes to walk in. And it just never felt like we got to that point when we were on Suits. So I wanted it to be a Chicago that was recognizable to people who live in Chicago. I wanted it to be a kind of, everything's beeping. I'm sorry.
I thought that was me. I was like, is that me?
No, it's me.
While you were talking, I was like, let me put this on airplane mode. So I don't have to beep it.
Sorry, it must be that time of day.
It's all good.
But I wanted to have the audience experience a diverse, eclectic world and existence, such as it is, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, Black and brown people are reflected very exact to the world that we navigate in, because for so many decades, that hasn't been the case. Yes. You know, we have been put in a box by Hollywood, which brings me to this next question. We've been put in a box, Black and brown people, on the big screen, on the small screen, in the record industry, in the fashion industry. We've been put in a box because the people that were calling the shots were not us the majority of the time. Right. There are us calling the shots, but the majority of them were not us calling the shots. So we were put in a box. And it was one of those things where you don't want to be in a box, because that's not the world we live in. That's not the world we navigate in. That's not what our friends are. That's not who our peers and constituents are. It's just not that way. So how did you go about, as a woman of color in this industry, an Afro-Cuban woman in this industry, how did you avoid the pitfall of being placed in a box? Because it could have been very easily done.
Oh, and who's to say that it wasn't done? I mean, I know that those attempts were made. you speak of the box, and as an Afro-Latina woman, certainly as a young actress coming of age in this industry, there was no box for me. I had to sort of be, there was the Latina box, there was the Black box, there was the White box, there was the Asian box, and never the twain shall meet. And that's just not the reality of my world. That certainly wasn't the reality of my existence. But, you know, I always said, if they don't decide who I am, the collective,
whoever
they
is,
doesn't
right.
get to decide who I am. And just like I've walked through this world because I present as an African-American woman, and people decide that that's what I am, and so they treat me as such, whether they realize that they are or aren't, it doesn't change the fact that I'm Afro-Cuban. It doesn't change the fact that I, you know, grew up speaking Spanish and eating rice and beans and going to Catholic church, not the Baptist church down the street. That wasn't my experience. But to walk with my truth was my job. And my truth infiltrated everything that I did. I didn't change my name. I didn't pretend to be anything other than who and what I am. And so that helped me survive. And I think that in turn educated people along the way.
You know what's funny about you saying you didn't have to change your name? I did have to change my name, because my name was so long that nobody could remember what my name was. So, you know, my legal name is Carla Renata Williams, right? Hmm. Nobody could ever remember my last name was Renata. Nobody could ever remember that my first name was Carla, but they could always remember Renata for some reason. They could always remember Renata, which is really interesting, right? So I was like, I got to do something, because in this industry, if people can't remember your name, then they can't remember to refer you or remember to hire you, or, you know what I mean? It's a problem. Right. So I was like, what could I do? So I called my parents up and I said, listen, I didn't come to LA and get extra. I didn't come to LA and go Hollywood. I just want y'all to know that I just want to try and experiment with my name and just chop Williams off to see what happens. And what happened was, people would just say Carla Renata. They wouldn't say Carla. They wouldn't say Renata. They would just say Carla Renata. And that ended up working better for me. So wow. I'm glad that you said, I know, right?
Yeah.
So, such a simple thing, but it made such a huge, huge, ginormous difference for me as someone that was in the industry, in the lane of acting and singing and dancing and stuff as I did when I started. But I'm glad you brought that up. I want to roll over to the chat room real quick. Girl, it's a full house. And they're like, they love you. They are like, Gina, Gina, Gina. They're like, Gina, Gina, Gina. And then they said Pearson, Michael Wallace, Marlon Wallace, rather, said that Pearson was one of his favorite shows last year and was the best show of the summer of 2019.
Yay!
Michael B. wanted to know, is Pearson coming back for a new season? I think it's not, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah, so people are just like, ah, in the chat room. They're so excited about watching you.
Nice.
I also wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the fact that you were this executive producer on Pearson and it didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, in your opinion, what do you think probably contributed to that?
You know, having spoken to my executives and my producers and everybody in the know and what my own suspicions were, it was really a perfect storm. It was a perfect storm of broadcast meets streaming meets timing. You know, look how much the world has changed in just 4 weeks, right?
Ooh. We'll get to that too.
Look how much the world has changed in 4 weeks. So in the period of time from when Suits first started to when Pearson started, the only thing on Netflix were movies that you'd seen before, House of Cards, and Orange is the New Black.
That's right. That's right.
And a few other, there was no Hulu, there was no Amazon Prime, there was no Crackle, there was no, you know, all these other streaming, and then the networks themselves didn't even have streaming platforms. So in 10 years, in the last 10 years, in the last 9 or 10 years, the audiences have gotten divided and subdivided and subdivided again. So when you have a show that's still dependent on broadcast numbers, like the cable shows, like the network shows, ABC, CBS, you know, all of that. But now we're on cable. So now cable never got the numbers that broadcast got, that the big five networks got. And people have now in this time, in these 10 years, have gotten absolutely, completely accustomed to seeing what they want, when they want it, as much of it as they want to watch, when they can't watch it.
Right?
And believing that it's just going to be there when I get around to it. And so that wasn't our case. We were not being held or judged on that standard. So at the end of the day, because that's how people watch TV now, there just weren't enough people showing up on the day, on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We just didn't have enough people showing up.
Well, we're gonna make sure it happens with the next thing that you're producing and starring in. I tell you that much, because I was all about some Pearson back in the day. I was like, what can I do to help? You know that, yes, we had that conversation. I was like, come on, girl, what we gonna do? what we gonna do? How can I help? I was all about it. But having said that, we are in a new normal. We are in a new normal it doesn't feel like it's been 4 weeks. I'm losing time. Like, yeah. I can't even tell how many weeks it is, but this is a new normal. And I don't think the industry is going to be the same after this. I don't think people are going to watch movies the same. I don't think they're going to watch television the same. Mm-hmm. I don't think the consumption of entertainment in general is going to go back to what it was.
Right.
Having said that, what kind of impact do you think COVID-19 is going to have on the industry?
Look, I'm an optimist by nature. My default is joy. and I do believe that, and this is, I wish I had said it first, but somebody that I know and respect a long time ago said to me, humans will always want to be entertained by other humans.
This is true.
So, you know, regardless of the gamers out there, regardless of, there's still humans writing those storylines. There's still humans singing your favorite songs. There's still humans playing out, you know, the drama of our humanity that are making us laugh, that are making us cry, that are making us think. And so those stories, I think, will only get richer. I think what will change is the content. Because we have, much like the nation of the First World War and the Second World War and the Vietnam War, and all the Gulf Wars, you know, and 9/11, we have taken another hit to our humanity. And when that happens, when we lose our innocence in yet another way, you know, we evolve. Mm-hmm. And we find it in other places. We seek it out in other places, but it also makes our storytelling deeper. And so I believe that is going to be the shift that we see. We're going to see a shift in our storytelling. We're gonna want more. Because we need to ask more of ourselves at this moment in time. So yeah. As we're asking more of ourselves, we're going to ask more of what entertains us. And that's going to filter through everything. We're still going to want to escape. We're still going to want to, you know, forget for, you know, 12, 2 hours, whatever was allotted us. And have those moments, but we're, you know, the quality of it, I believe, is just going to be deeper. And I trust that it's going to be better. I think it's someplace that we're moving into.
Well, I think we pretty much said the same thing, but in different ways. Because, you know, as someone who, I love cinema. It's my favorite thing ever. And I especially love classic film. Nothing for me can replace that feeling of going to a theater, finding your seat, whether it's assigned or not, getting your snack.
Yes.
And sitting down, you know, and watching a movie with a collective group of people that you don't know. There's something very special mm-hmm. and something very intimate, believe it or not, about that, that I Absolutely. Particularly enjoy. I
mean, we're theater so, babies. We understand what that is and what that feels like.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Please. Yeah, don't even get me started. Don't get me on my Broadway soapbox. That's a whole other situation.
There you go.
They are loving you. They want to know, who is someone that you haven't gotten to work with that you'd love to work with?
Oh, the list is too long. What?
Like, I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
No. Let me ask a question. Who do you all out there want to see me work with?
Tell me, trust and believe. So we're going while they're typing that.
Yes.
Let's just say, I know you're a mom. I know you're a wife. Are they getting on your last nerves yet? You were like, yes, I'll talk to you on Easter Sunday. Anything to have some time to myself.
I was just like, don't you come out of that room. I got a Zoom meeting to do.
That is pure
Get your
comedy.
Snack now.
Right. Okay. Let me just tell you, I saw somebody posted something online. It was a picture. It was a picture of somebody going into a refrigerator door and a sign that was taped up that said, "You're not hungry. You were just in here. Go away."
Yes.
That made me laugh for days. For days that made me laugh. I know that you are a very spiritual person.
Yes.
And I just wonder, emotionally, how are you taking care of yourself emotionally and physically during this time?
For me, it has always been about establishing a routine and sticking mm-hmm. to it. You know, as actors, we're often more, some of us more out of work than working. it's all ebbs and flows. You know, I mean, I finished Pearson over a year ago.
I know.
Over a year ago. So, and I didn't start my next project until 4 weeks ago, and then we got shut down.
I know. You know, I'm on Superstore, and the second to last week that we were shooting, I think they didn't even finish shooting the episode. It was an Easter episode. They couldn't even air it.
Yeah.
No, which makes me really sad. But
so sad. So I say this to say, and I was just talking to a young friend of mine who's just getting started in the business and wanted some advice. I said, the best advice I can give you is what you can put into place right now. Understand that this is the ebb and flow of the industry. And when you're, you know, in the valley, when in the ebb time,
right?
The best thing you can do is establish a routine of wellness, of creativity, of meditation, of exercise, of finding your community and staying, a friend of mine used to say, staying juicy, you know, just staying agile and ready and creative. You know, if you write, write. If you sing, sing. If you, you know, just keep it moving, keep it going, and find those things and plug into those things that make you happy, that give you joy, so that you're ready when the time comes. And so that's what I do. I get ready, I stay ready. Always ready.
All right. I know that's right. All right. They're saying they want to see you paired up with, they think that De Niro would be a good pairing for you. Tom Cruise, Sam Jackson, J-Lo, The Rock.
Wow.
Yeah. They said, Karen Brown says, I want to see Gina and The Rock as a couple.
It's a good thing my man's not around.
Right? I don't know how the fish would be feeling about that. Instihu, let's get around to talking about Stella in the Spades before we run out of some time. Mm-hmm. I saw this movie. I saw you in it. It's one of my favorite films of this year, mostly for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
Mostly because it takes place at a boarding school, which most of the time when we see that scenario, is with white kids and 100%. Not, you know, black and brown people, and especially not with black and brown people running the show. So I was all about that.
Yes.
I was all about your character being that mom that just, she knew what time it was and she was not having it. There was no shenanigans going on with Stella. She was like, okay, but she did it with love and she did it with heart and she did it with humility and warmth.
No,
so I just wanted you. You were great. Your time in the film is very brief, but the time that you're in it is really wonderful, and it really makes a statement. And I just wanted to know how you and Tyresha came to talking about you being in this project, and how you feel about being in Stella in the Spades.
I read the script, and just like you, everything that you just said stuck out to me. Like, we're going to see black kids in a boarding school. We're going to see them in this, you know, elite, for lack of a better word, this elite environment. I'm there. I'm all for it. You know, this is a child that doesn't really come from a broken home. You can't say that. I mean, her mother, she does come from her mother's first marriage, but everybody's intact. Everybody wants the best for her, and that everybody's working towards, you know, what is best for her.
Absolutely.
And so I believe that my presence in the movie, as one of the few adults that you get to see in the movie, is very much an example of the other parents of the other children. And so we wanted the parents, even though we're not as influential in how things turn out as we would like to think we'd be,
right?
Our presence is strong, and it's there, and it's valuable. You want to believe that they have all those kids have a place to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are, and so what's beautiful about it is, and as the mother of a young daughter, one of the things that I, you know, talk to her about are choices.
Mm.
And the choices that you make, and how now is the time in your life where it's not just making choices in the vacuum, that choices have responsibilities attached to them. They have outcomes attached to them that you then have to play out, take responsibility for, and hopefully learn something from.
Mm.
And what I love, love, love about this movie, that it really is very much that you have these kids playing these games that have very, very real consequences.
Mm.
And at first it's sexy, it's fun. It's like your first taste of power and you know, and you think you've got the world by the ass. And
there's some things that go down in that film where I was like, well, okay, then it was a surprise because it played at Sundance. I hate I missed you at Sundance, but I was there and it played at Sundance. And so we were waiting for this film to drop in the theaters. And because of the pandemic, it's now going to drop this Friday, April 17th on Amazon Prime. But regardless, it's a film that I feel everybody needs to see. It says so many different things, and I don't want to ruin it in this conversation, you know, discussing it with you. But I think everyone should see the film because they're going to be surprised. And the performances by Lovie, the performances by Celeste, the performances by Emmy winner Jerrell Jerome and yourself, there's not a weak link in the film. Jesse Williams. Yes. I mean, it's a really strong cast. It's a strong script. It was directed really well.
Yeah.
And so I just loved you in it. Oh my goodness.
Wait to see what she does next. And
oh my goodness. You know she gonna call Gina Torres. Stop playing. You know she gonna call you. Why you playing?
I hope so.
Before we hop out of this conversation, though, I know that you, I want you to just address this for the thespians that might be listening and watching. Okay. I read a quote from you, and I said this at the beginning of the conversation. I read a quote from you that when you wanted to start out your journey in the biz, that you wanted to be an Afro-Cuban Bernadette Peters. Why Bernadette Peters?
Because when I was coming up, she was the queen of Broadway.
Okay.
She was everywhere. She was on the talk shows. She was in the movies. You know, she was in the original Annie that they did. She was in a couple of Steve Martin movies. I was a New Yorker, so I was watching her in these commercials on Broadway shows. She was doing the talk show circuit, and every time she sang some ballad from some show she was on, she'd cry. She'd tear up. Do you remember any of that?
Yes, girl. Sunday in the Park with George. Why are you playing?
Yes. So I just thought that she was doing everything beautifully. And I wanted some of that. I wanted to be that. She was doing everything that I wanted to do. So why not? Why not me?
Well, you're doing it. You're doing animation. Yes. You're doing video games. You're doing episodic. You're doing film. You've done Broadway. You are doing it, Gina Torres.
Thank you. Doing my best. I'm not stopping now.
Girl, and we don't expect.
This is just a brief hiatus.
And we don't expect you to. I am so thrilled and ecstatic that you took time out of your Easter Sunday to come over here and chat with me. I wholeheartedly appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to the day where we can do this in person.
Oh, that sounds great. Me too.
All right, mama. So you guys, that does it for us. This is the Curvy Critic with Carla Renata at Black Hollywood Live. You can catch me across all social media platforms at the Curvy Critic. Where can they find you, Miss Gina?
At I Am Gina Torres on Instagram. And I'm on Twitter, sorta.
Well, just type in Gina Torres. I'm sure you'll find her. You got a blue check, right?
Gina Torres.
She got a blue check mark by her name, so it won't be hard to find her.
I'm verified. Yes, I am.
So join me back here, y'all, every Sunday, 5:15 at Black Hollywood Live for the Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. And we're going to say goodbye to Miss Gina Torres. Bye, mama.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
All right.
Happy Easter.
I'll see y'all next
Stay
week.
Stay safe. Happy Stay Easter. Healthy. Wash your hands.
Yes, okay. Bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.